Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you'll enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Again, just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the scriptures. The intent of the heart is important to God. Why you do what you do is important to God. Some people think that God is pleased as long as they make it to the worship or church service. Some people think that they can live a sinful lifestyle just as long as they make church. Some people think that since they work for the church, the rules don't apply to them. There are some people who think that all God is interested in is the show. There's some people that think that God is only a show, meaning they don't even believe that there is a God. But they go through the motions because it is what is expected of them. There are other people who think that if they do things for God, that God will do whatever they want since God owes it to them. They think that God can be bought. They think that God can be owned. If a person can control a God, that isn't much of a God at all, is it? Who becomes the God if you're in control of a God? Let us read from Zechariah. Chapter 7, verse 1, and see that God is neither owned nor fooled by the Jewish behavior. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Chislev. Now the people of Bethel had sent Sherezar and Regem-Melech and their men to entreat the favor of the Lord, saying to the priests of the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, "Shall I weep and abstain in the fifth month, as I have done so for many years?" Well, then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, "Say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh month, for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous, with her cities around her, and the south and the lowland were inhabited? And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the father, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." But they refused to pay attention and turned to a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of the host had sent by a spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts, as I called and they would not hear, so they called and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. How long, how often do you and I, do we go to worship today? How long do we have to do good? When does being a Jew or a Christian, when does it pay off? When do we get to stop scraping and bowing to this God? When is enough enough, right? I remember one of my coworkers. She had a bumper sticker on her car that said, "Everyone look busy, Jesus is coming back today." See, if these are your views of God, whether you believe in him or not, you've missed the point of God. God never wants, demands, or encourages such behavior, teaching, or even thoughts. The people come before God here in Zechariah, asking if they should continue to fast in the fifth month as they've been doing for 70 years. Think about that, 70 years. Most of these people, most likely, weren't even born when this tradition of man, not even God, but of man was created. Why the 70-year focus? Well, this stems from when God sent Judah into captivity during the time of Jeremiah the prophet under the control of Babylon, and God had told them that they would be in captivity for 70 years. Now, you can read about this in Jeremiah chapter 25, but I want to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in verse 10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise, and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Notice the plans of the Lord and the promises that God makes here in Jeremiah. He will bring them back to the promised land. He has good and wholesome plans for them, a future and a hope. God is going to restore them fortunes. He's going to bring them back to the land, and God will be found by them. If, and that is a big if is a conditional statement. They have to do their part. What is their part? They have to seek God with all their heart. And see, here in Zechariah, are they seeking God with all their heart? And the answer is no. What do they want to do? They want to stop fasting, something that God never required of them in the first place. They want to stop doing those things. But God, in this chapter of Zechariah, also lets us know, while they're fasting even, they're not seeking God. They're just fasting. The Jews have been fasting in the fifth month for 70 years. But they haven't been doing it for God. They've been doing it for themselves. And God wasn't fooled. Not only was God not fooled, but he actually sent prophets to tell them that he wasn't fooled. And amazingly enough, what was the response of the Jew? The answer is, they refused to hear. They refused to listen. They turned a stubborn shoulder to the prophet, and by extension, of course, to God. They turned their back on God while they're seeking God's favor. They stopped their ears so that they wouldn't have to hear God's word to them. They made their hearts as hard as diamonds. Diamonds, you know, that hardest earth mineral known to man. Their hearts were made that hard towards their own God of their own free will, while they wanted to stop doing something that God never commanded them to do in the first place. Just think about the ridiculousness of that situation for these Jews. So what did God really ask the Jews to do that they had such a hard time with? What did he tell them to do? Render true judgments. Get rid of the lies and the deception and the falsities, the favoritism. True judgments, shown to kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, the poor. Let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Do these sound like hard things to do? Can you imagine saying, no, God, I want to oppress the widows. I want to oppress the orphans and the poor. Or how about saying this to God? I want to devise evil against someone else. But that's exactly what the Jews were doing, and that's what they did. When God said, don't do these things, they're like, no, sorry, God, I don't want to fast, but I also don't want to do these other things either. These Jews, they don't make a very good example for us, do they? Who would want to be a Jew knowing that this is how this people behaved? Who would want to join them? Who would want to follow a God whose followers behave in such a way? This is really a pathetic God, isn't it? But this is the thing. God doesn't approve of these things that these Jews are doing. He doesn't approve of any of them at all. This is why he told them, don't behave this way. God's telling them, don't do these things, and they're doing those things. And God didn't tell them to do other things, and they're doing those other things. If it was one person, you'd say they're schizophrenic, but really what this is a totally broken and destroyed relationship. God has told them how to be good and right and just and godly. And they've rejected all of that and in rebellion have decided instead that they're just going to do a little pomp and circumstance. They're going to fast for a month instead of what God had told them to do. And they decided that that pleased God instead. We know that God didn't approve of their behavior. Did the Jews ever learn their lesson? We already know that they didn't want to heed God's instructions in the time of Zechariah. Turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to what John the Baptist has to say to his fellow Jews. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money by anyone by false threats or false accusation. Be content with your wages." Now, obviously, if John is having to teach the Jews in his day, they obviously had not learned from Zechariah at all. But John the Baptist, here is a difference. With John the Baptist, they wanted to hear his instructions, which came from God. They wanted to learn to be the people that God had wanted them to be those many years before in Zechariah. Their hearts were actually turning towards God, just as God had asked them to do in Jeremiah and in Zechariah. And this was John's task, of course. This is why God sent John in the first place. When we go back in Luke and read in chapter 1 of verse 16, this is prophesied of John. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." This was John's task, and that's what John was doing. And of course, when Jesus came, what did he find? He found a people prepared, for the most part, for those that were willing to seek God, for people who were willing to turn to God and be obedient and to love one another and care for each other. That was John's task, and John did it admirably. Turn with me now. Paul, in the book of Galatians, when comparing Paul's gospel to the other apostles, the 12 apostles, he found and they found together that they proclaimed the same gospel, the same thing. Look with me in Galatians chapter 2, verse 6. Paul writes this, speaking of the apostles. "And from those who seemed to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do." Now, obviously, there's an expectation from God that we Christians should behave in the same way that God instructed the Jews to behave through Zechariah. We Christians, we want to know God's heart. Here's the difference. We Christians, we want to know God's heart. This is part of the new covenant. Old covenant, law of Moses, the people didn't want God to be their God. New covenant, we people want God to be our God. At least we should. We should. Sometimes Christians forget this. They forget the new covenant, right? The intentions of our hearts today is just as important now as it was for the Jews during the times of Zechariah. If God wanted to settle for a people who didn't love him but only went through the motions, he could have stuck with the Jews. They were good at that. They were good at checking boxes. They were good at making sure that they honored God on the Sabbath, but their hearts were far from God. God didn't want that. He's never wanted that. And today, for us Christians, God doesn't want a group of people that just check the box. He wants people who draw near to him, people who seek him out, people who love him, people who want to be with him, and people who hear his word and obey. This is what God expects from us. Remember Zechariah's instructions and think this is exactly what Jesus and the Father have instructed us to do as well. Zechariah's instructions, once more, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Man, that is, Christianity is filled with that kind of instruction over and over again, isn't it? And there's lots of places that we could go to find these instructions. Don't have time for all of them today. Just read your New Testament, right? But let me select one for us. Look with me at James chapter 5 in verse 7. James writes this. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." See, I selected these verses because rather than just a complete do this, don't do that, over and over again in this section, James tells us, be patient. And most of the time, and he speaks about the coming of the Lord, meaning Jesus is coming back, right? And usually what we think of is be patient, meaning you just wait until Jesus shows up. But really, as he writes this paragraph, when he talks about being patient, he's talking about how we treat one another, how we behave towards one another. And remember Zechariah's instruction, let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Show kindness and mercy to one another. These are the things that we Christians are supposed to be doing, and we have forgotten. And there's a reason why we have so much divisiveness in Christianity today, because we've forgotten these things. My fellow Christians, let us love one another. Let us care for those who are less fortunate than us, not take advantage of them. Do not grumble against one another. We're supposed to be encouraging, edifying, and building each other up. And if somebody's in sin, we need to be helping them out of sin, rebuking those who insist on evil. But we are supposed to be building each other up into a holy temple in the Lord. We're supposed to be steadfast, as Job was, and as the prophets were, as Zechariah was. We need to be patient with one another and with the Lord. We're awaiting his coming, but while we're waiting, we're supposed to be helping each other get to heaven. Are we doing these things? Are we busy fighting, biting, and devouring one another, as the Jews did, and as James writes about some of the early Christians doing? We need to determine that we are going to love one another. Over and over again, our New Testament tells us, love one another. Do you know why God has to tell us over and over again to love one another? Because we forget to do so, don't we? We forget to do so. It sounds easy. It's simple. Three simple words, love one another. But we forget to do this very thing. Seek God turn your hearts toward God. Be patient, be steadfast as Job and the prophets were, as Zechariah was, and let me encourage you today to walk with the Lord. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the Scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda, and I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
I have seen you walk down a dusty road. I have watched you stumble from my heavy load. In my heart I struggled, but I always knew the Holy Redeemer from heaven was you. My eyes have seen your glory. My hands have touched your face. My heart still burns within my breast from the warmth of your embrace. My eyes have seen your glory. My life forever changed. And when this journey comes to an end, I'll rest in your endless grace. I have seen you heal the lame, the blind. I have watched your goodness so pure, so kind. In my heart I crumbled when I watched you. But now I rejoice, for I know you're alive. My eyes have seen your glory. My hands have touched your face. From the warmth of your embrace, my eyes have seen your glory.